To the Peaceful Festival. I want to introduce some speakers. A lot of people have told me today that they come to this festival every year because it restores their faith. When they feel like this world is in such crisis, they're losing hope, they come out here and they look into the eyes of thousands of other people who feel as strongly as they do that this world could be going in a better direction than the way it is, and the place that it's going to start is right here and right now. 2 years ago, I traveled to Iraq. I went through Israel and Palestine. I went to the Gaza Strip. And before I left there, I was feeling like, man, this situation, especially between Israel and Palestine, is hopeless. And then I met two people that totally changed my life. They changed my attitude about that situation, changed my attitude about the world. One is a Jewish Israeli woman. The other is a Palestinian woman. And their names are Robbie and Nadwa. And I brought them over from Israel to be here today to speak to you. Because I feel like what they have to say is so important and so beautiful. So please welcome out here today,
Thank you. This is Robbie and I'm Nadwa. I'm overwhelmed. This is the first time I'm going to speak to a large number of human beings. Thank you. We give hope, but we also need you to sustain our hope. Why was my sister deprived of freedom, I wonder? Why was my sister deprived of life when she, as a professional, preserved, prolonged, and improved the quality of life? Why am I being punished when my country was partitioned and my people were dispersed? Why am I still being punished when they took away my humanity, my dignity, and my freedom? I was angry. I was full of hate, and I lost hope. One man, an Orthodox Jew, who lost his 19-year-old son, made me change the course of my life, made me stand here in front of you and speak. And you know what he did? He just spoke to me. And through that dialogue, he was able to apologize, to recognize me as a human being, to recognize the occupation that deprived me of a lot of things. And you know what happened? After that, I saw the light. My heart, and not just my heart, but my mind was open. Open so that I can understand the other side. I can forgive and I can reconcile without surrendering my right to justice. But I've done it through breaking the cycle of violence that has not affected me alone. It's affecting the whole world. It's affecting all of us. In this world, the victims get punished and the offenders get rewarded. We, the people, are the victims. And the offenders are those who make policies that do not care about our lives, do not care about our sanity, do not care about our humanity, the human being inside us. We came here to join an international conference for peaceful tomorrows. 9/11 victim survivors who chose the other way, our way, and instead of revenge, they also are trying to break the cycle of violence. Through understanding, through opening hearts and minds, by forgiving and reconciling, and they're asking themselves a lot of questions, and we want you to ask yourselves a lot of questions and not listen to the media. We've come up with a press release, 24 organizations from all over the world, from We the People. I need my glasses to do this because I'm aging. We are a global network of organizations comprised of people who lost loved ones to or were directly affected by war, nuclear weapons, terrorism, genocide, organized crime, and political violence. We work together to break the cycle of violence and revenge, and are committed to honoring the memories of the victims and to the dignity of the survivors. Using our collective experience and skills, we are dedicated to identifying and addressing the root causes of violence and to promoting nonviolence as the most effective strategy for resolving conflict. We pledge to support and amplify each other's efforts across diverse communities, recognizing that we derive our strength from our common experience of loss and our common hope for a world free of violence so that we can live. What would it be if I could take all 50,000 of you, or however many, if we could take this energy, and if we could support each other, and if we could support the Israelis and the Palestinian people by supporting Israel to get out of the occupied territories? What would it take for me to convince you not to take sides? What would it take for me to convince you that by being pro-Israeli or pro-Palestinian, you're not helping anybody? The way that I can introduce myself to you and the organization we work for is by reading you a letter. Normally I don't read anything to people, certainly not bad poetry or rainbows or flowers. I will read you a letter which I wrote to the family of the man who killed my son David. This is a path of reconciliation and forgiving. What Nadwa said is that forgiving doesn't mean that you give up your right to justice. This for me is one of the most difficult letters I will ever have to write. My name is Robbie Damlin. I am the mother of David who was killed by your son. I know he did not kill David because he was David. If he had known him, he could never have done such a thing.
David was 28 years old. He was a student at Tel Aviv University, doing his master's in the philosophy of education. David was part of the peace movement and did not want to serve in the occupied territories. He had a compassion for all people and understood the suffering of the Palestinians. He treated all around him with dignity. David was part of the movement of the officers who did not want to serve in the occupied territories. But nevertheless, for many reasons, he went to serve when he was called to the reserves. What makes our children do what they do? Do they not understand the pain they are causing? Your son, by now having to be in jail for many years, and mine, who I will never be able to hold or see again, or see him married, or have a grandchild from him. I cannot describe to you the pain I feel since his death, and the pain of his brother and girlfriend, and all who knew and loved him. All my life I have spent working for causes of coexistence, both in South Africa and here. After David was killed, I started to look for a way to prevent other families, both Israeli and Palestinian, from suffering this dreadful loss. I was looking for a way to stop the cycle of violence. Nothing for me is more sacred than human life. No revenge or hatred can ever bring my child back. After a year, I closed my office and joined the Parents Circle Families Forum. We are a group of Israeli and Palestinian families who have all lost an immediate family member in the conflict. We are looking for ways to create a dialogue with a long-term vision of reconciliation. After your son was captured, I spent many sleepless nights thinking about what I should do. Should I ignore the whole thing, or will I be true to my integrity and to the work that I am doing and trying to find a way for closure and reconciliation? This is not easy for anyone, and I am just an ordinary person and not a saint. I have now come to the conclusion that I would like to try to find a way to reconcile. Maybe this is difficult for you to understand or believe. I know that in my heart, it is the only path that I can choose. For if what I say is what I mean, it is the only way. I understand that your son is considered a hero by many of the Palestinian people. He is considered to be a freedom fighter, fighting for justice and for an independent, viable Palestinian state. But I also feel that if he understood that the taking of the life of another is not the way, and that if he understood the consequences of his act, he could see that a non-violent solution is the only way for both nations to live together in peace. Our lives as two nations are so intertwined. Each of us will have to give up on our dreams for the future of the children who are our responsibility. I give this people, this letter to people I love and trust to deliver. They will tell you of the work we are doing and perhaps create in your hearts some hope for the future. I do not know what your reaction will be. It is a risk for me, but I believe that you will understand as it comes from the most honest part of me. I hope that you will show the letter to your son, and that maybe in the future we can meet. Let us put an end to the killing and look through for a way, through mutual understanding and empathy, to live a normal life free of violence. Thank you.
Power to the peaceful, right? Be peace now is the theme this year. Can we do a chant real quick?
When I say peace, y'all say now?
Peace!
Now!
Peace!
Now!
Peace!
Now!
All right, do me another favor. Say what's up to the listening audience at KPFA one time.
Oh, what's up?
Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. So we are very fortunate now to have another important perspective on peace. I'm about to bring up another speaker. His name is Sean Hughes, and let me tell you a little bit about him. Sean was originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he was a working actor until 9/11. When 9/11 hit the following day, my man walked into the Marine Corps office and enlisted, became an infantryman. Went deep, deep, deep in that stuff, man. He saw a lot in action. And he was awarded a certificate of commendation, citing his courage and self-sacrifice throughout sustained combat operations while in Iraq. Since returning, he's become author of the critically acclaimed